My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Coming up a little bit later on this hour, around 11:45, expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes post bye week. You heard from Mahomes yesterday on The Drive. Be sure to check out that interview as well. We learned that Patrick Mahomes has never had a Pop-Tart in his life. Hmm. Were you surprised to hear that?
My kids had a Pop-Tart this morning.
For someone that puts ketchup on a steak, I'm stunned he's never had a Pop-Tart. Like, you would think if you're willing to do that, like, oh, of course I've had a Pop-Tart.
If you're like maybe he's a toaster strudel kid. Was there a follow-up?
Okay. I don't know.
Carrington missed a follow-up opportunity? Maybe he preferred a toaster strudel.
I'm not sure. I did not ask.
Hmm.
I did not ask. Yeah, I'm assuming all three of us have had a Pop-Tart before.
I've had a Pop-Tart.
I've had it cold, and I've had it warm, and obviously heated, which is better. But
butter on the back?
I don't usually do the butter on the back. Well, the brown sugar cinnamon is the best.
Mm.
Brown sugar cinnamon warm.
Oh, it's up there.
As a kid,
for
great.
Me, but it's up there.
We have them in the little kitchen area.
I prefer a fruitier Pop-Tart.
Like a strawberry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I prefer to go
brown
that
sugar
route.
Cinnamon is the...
That's what he just said.
Yeah, brown sugar cinnamon is so good.
I don't want anything to do with anything. It was like s'mores once. I'm not trying to eat like, you know,
so
there's a line for me.
So we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid coming up at 11:45 as they have their weekly availability right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. And thinking of the Chiefs, let's talk about this schedule moving forward, because I'm looking at it as well, and I know the number one seed... We've talked about the importance because of the injuries, even more than ever. Maybe it's important to get it so you get the bye week and all that. But also, because of what's going on the rest of the AFC, knowing that, yeah, you still have a head-to-head against the Texans and a head-to-head against the Buffalo Bills later, I think the Chiefs win the next three and get to 8-0. They're getting the number one seed.
I think because I view their schedule in blocks, you're probably right. Because if they get to 8-0, that means they will have taken down two of, I think, the remaining five, I think, difficult, like truly difficult games remaining on their schedule. The 49ers on the road this week, the Buccaneers for Monday Night Football, right? I think that qualifies. Mm-hmm. And then you're right through that time around Buffalo, who's on the list of the difficult games, and the Texans, who are on the list of difficult games. Outside of that, it's divisional games, in which we know Patrick Mahomes' winning percentage is bonkers. It's like 80 million and 0 essentially against the division, and straight up bad teams like the Panthers or Browns. And yeah, maybe a Christmas Day road game on the Steelers ranks out as a bottom five. The next four games, two of the ones that I would say are the hardest five remaining, exist on the schedule in the next two. I look at this as blocks. They get through this stretch 2-2, even just 2-2 gold. They are in the absolute driver's seat, because then after they get through the Bills, Panthers, Raiders at home, Chargers at home, Browns on the road. That's a joke stretch. Barring any other major injuries, that's at least a 3-1 stretch. Usually for the Chiefs, that's a 4-0 stretch. But at the bare minimum, okay, now we're up to 3 losses, I told you, if they go to 2-2. Then I view the final stretch of games, even though there's that 3 games in 10 days, as its own, which is Texans, Steelers, Broncos. It wraps up your season. You have 2 difficult games again. Steelers on the road on a short week. Texans at home. And then, of course, a divisional road game to wrap up the season. Let's call that 2-1 because, then I'm at 4 losses total for the entire season. So if they can get through this next stretch, including how they look at the 49ers, well, then they are going to be the number one seed, something that I think is more important this year than it's been in years for this team. So look, there's tread left on the tires from these postseason runs, but damn, they have been playing a lot of games. And the freshness of getting some break last year was significant. I think that this stretch is maybe the most important after what I thought was the most important stretch at the beginning of the season, when it was Ravens, Bengals, Falcons, one of the division games, and the Chargers. And they took that stretch and went 4-0. That was the most difficult stretch they'll face all season. They went 4-0. So now what? Over the next 3 stretches, go 3-1 of those, and you're the number one seed?
Yeah, obviously 5-0 overall right now heading into San Francisco this weekend. It's the only time this year they're going to be underdogs, barring an injury later on. They're 1.5-point dogs. They're projected in some of the look-ahead lines. They're projected to be 10-point favorites out in Las Vegas next week. They're projected to be 7-point favorites when they come back and play Tampa. Denver, 11-point favorite. At Buffalo right now, the Chiefs are projected to be 1.5-point favorites. That one could swing depending on...
I think that's probably going to be more like this weekend against San Francisco, like a dog.
Potentially, yeah, with how everybody's playing. And, of course, Carolina, they're already look-ahead line, 13.5-point favorites.
That's it?
It'll go up.
Low.
Well, the Chiefs, we've known.
Will Deontay Johnson be on the other team by then or not?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping he's on the Chiefs, that's for sure. We know, the Chiefs typically, like last week, that's why they looked, their best against New Orleans or 2 weeks ago. They don't usually blow out teams anymore. It's very hard to do in the NFL, and the Chiefs typically have not done that. So those bigger numbers are a little surprising to see. But I just think the next 3, because it gives you some cushion. You know, if you get to 8-0, like Buffalo's schedule, where are they going to drop another one? So Buffalo has Tennessee, then Seattle, then Miami. That's their next 3. They're probably also going 3. Another one at Seattle could be tricky. Road trip from Buffalo out west. But after that,
Chiefs in between
it's
those games.
Indy, Kansas City, bye week. Then they get San Francisco, the Rams, and Detroit. That's their tough 3 after that. I just think if you get to 8-0, you start looking at how many wins do you think the Bills are capable of getting to, even if they were to get the head-to-head tiebreaker on you. And I just think the 8-0 cushion would put you in a position where you should be the number one seed.
The only thing that might actively hurt their chances, and I actually think the Texans are a bigger threat right now than the Bills, even though the Bills arguably are playing better football. And that's because the Texans, their division stinks. Stinks! You need them to lose this week for the Packers on the road. You need them to...
They have Detroit still.
Yeah, they have the Jets on the road, which are not a pushover.
Baltimore.
They have the Packers on the road. But the rest of their schedule is their division, and their division is a joke. Now, look, maybe that Miami game December 15th for them looks a little bit more challenging. But I'm taking these things in blocks, not just based on 4-4-4-4 with somewhere being 5. I look at this as the next 4 games, because it's 2 of your hardest 4 games remaining. Then the 4 that I think you should go 4-0 after that, and then the final 3 games after that. That's how I kind of view the way that they're blocked out, because that's the way their schedule lays out. They do play a lot more on the road. Have we not made enough big of a deal about the fact
on the back end of the season?
Kansas City is going to have to spend a predominant amount of time the rest of the season on the road. And that might be the most undervalued part of what is going to make their schedule difficult. Because you're like, well, that's not that big of, some of those are road divisional games, but on the road, what?
7 of them. They have 7 of them.
Yeah. On the road, the next 2 weeks in a row, and then back on the road for 1, 2, 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It matters, as we've discussed, with the stretch around Christmas. I mean, when you're at Cleveland, back home in Houston, at Pittsburgh, at Denver. The only thing, though, at Denver is week 18. That game might not matter. You might be resting starters, so that one may not just matter. At Carolina, let's get real. So two of them.
Wait, you don't think traveling to Panther Stadium is
and at the Raiders. That's Arrowhead West. We're going to be out there. Reminder, join us at Circa Las Vegas if you want to join us for our happy hour party we're doing on that Friday. That's a week from this Friday, the party, that is. Text in the 913-586-7965. We'll send you the RSVP link, get you a free drink, get you entered to win tickets to that game, get you entered to win a day bed over at Stadium Swim. So hope to see you guys in Vegas. But I guess what I'm saying is the Raiders game on the road, Denver on the road, and Carolina. Three of the seven, don't really.
No big deal. Just go undefeated really the rest of the way and then set the NFL record for combined wins in a row, regular and postseason. That record is 21, by the way. That is the most consecutive wins in NFL history by any particular franchise. Obviously, had to come in a back-to-back Super Bowl championship run. The Chiefs would actually be quite a bit longer had they not dropped that game to the Raiders.
Someone on the text line says the Chiefs are losing two of the next three. You could definitely make some money if you think that's happening. At San Francisco, of course, there's a chance they could lose on Sunday. And then I'm assuming of the next, you're mentioning the Tampa game at home. I just don't think on a Monday night game at home, coming off the Raiders game, that's one that is going to necessarily get the Chiefs. I think this Sunday is the one. If they're going to slip up in the first 10 weeks of the season, or first 10 weeks of Buffalo's week 11, if they're not going to start like 9-0, 10-0, I think it has to be a loss this week. Otherwise, Cody, I think they're going 9-0 to start this thing before they go to Buffalo.
Here's the truth. I don't feel like we have any good sense of who Tampa is. They beat Washington. That looks like a better win now to lead the season. They beat Detroit. That is a tremendous win early on.
On the road.
They got their ass kicked by Denver at home. They beat Philly. Philly stinks. Philly's not that good. I'm not that blown away by a Philly win. They're fine. They lost to Atlanta in overtime on the road. And then they beat the hell out of New Orleans last week. Their schedule and the way they've played is like so weird and inconsistent. I just don't feel like I know what the Bucs are. I guess I'll get a good sense in a couple of weeks when they take them on for Monday night. But the schedule is interesting because it's a lot of road games. They still have a ton of division games left, 5 of the 6 division games of their remaining 12.
Up next, we'll get right back to the Royals, though. I want to talk about the next 5 years and what is actually going to be viewed as success for them, plus the trash of the day right here on...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. We'll also get to the trash of the day here in about 8 minutes or so. So let's talk some Royals baseball. We all know the season that was had for this team bounced back from 56 wins. We had JJ Piccolo on the show yesterday talking about how he would characterize this year. And you know, based off of where they're at as an organization, I think this next question will depend on how confident you are in what you saw pitching wise and that they can continue to evaluate pitchers in free agency and continue to make trades. Because how would you view the next 5 years in terms of success? Is it a couple playoff appearances? Is it a World Series appearance? Over the next 5 years going forward, how would you guys view it as a success or not? 913-586-7965.
I like to ask this question because it's the same to me as how you view your football or basketball programs in college and where they are. Like, how many times in a 10-year stretch should Kansas make the NCAA tournament? 10. How many times should they make the Final Four? 3. How many times should they win a championship? 1. That is a successful 10-year stretch for Kansas basketball. The answer is different for Missouri basketball. How many times should they make the tournament? 5. How many times should they make a Final Four? I don't know. Once, for God's sakes. Win a championship? Yeah, right. Maybe in a different lifetime. But when you look at the different organizations, I'm not even like anti-Missouri. They've never even been to a Final Four, dude. If I'm talking about 10 years of success looks like.
Keep going, man. Preach. Keep going.
I'm just pointing out what it should look like for each organization. For the Royals, I think a successful 5-year run over the next 5 years, so not counting what just happened, is 2 playoff appearances and 1 deep playoff run. I would deem that a success. They have never gone through a stretch like that in my lifetime. It has been since the late 70s and early 80s since this team made multiple postseason trips in a 5-year run. Because I would tack it in with this one. That would put, if they made 2 in the next 5, that would be 3 over 6 years with 1 deep run, whether it ends up in a World Series or not. That's success. That means you are a functional Major League Baseball franchise. I will put one caveat on it. It has to come with the fact that you're never in the doldrums. That of those 3 years, or those 3 years you're not in the postseason, you don't just stink. You aren't 61 wins, 67 wins. You are still in competitive baseball in July, in August. You don't just reek. That would be my caveat.
I think so much this is knowing the history of the franchise and where they have been. And that's, you know, viewing success versus what your dreams and desires are two different things. Of course, over the next 5 years, I would love them and say to be in a World Series and have a chance to win a championship again.
Make the playoffs all 5 years.
But if we're being realistic, yeah, the next 5, it's probably, for me, I would put it at 3 playoff appearances. Okay. I think they have some of the young pieces in place where, to me, 3 out of 5 would be the best stretch in the club's history, essentially. But also at the same time, I think they're in a position where that might be possible with, remember, expanded playoffs. We talk about the history of the club. Yeah, but 20 years ago, there were not, you know, 6 playoff spots in the American League. So I do view it a little bit differently now.
That's fair.
So that's why I think 3 out of the next 5. I'm never going to say with this franchise, with knowing the history, though, I'm never going to say like, oh, I need a World Series appearance in that. Yeah, my dream is that they have another World Series appearance in the next 5. I don't think with the way baseball playoffs work, all of that, payroll discrepancies, that you could say it's not a success if they don't get to a World Series in the next 5. I know internally they, of course, players, of course. I'm talking about from the outside, knowing the history of the franchise, knowing how baseball is set up market size-wise. I think if you told me 3 playoff appearances, and yeah, hopefully in all 3, it's not an exit in the wild card round. I would like to see an ALCS appearance. But if you're saying it's only a success if they make a World Series in the next 5, I just think that's not realistic of how baseball goes, especially if you're not the Dodgers or you're not the New York Yankees.
Their single greatest run in making the postseason, they made the postseason 5 out of 6 years, from 1976 to 1981. They were also the Yankees of that time.
Payroll was
much
different.
This is really hard to conceptualize because it doesn't make any sense. The Royals were a top 5 payroll team in baseball during that stretch, and they had the sport's best player, probably, or one of the sport's best players, in George Brett, and only 4 teams made the playoffs back then. So this is an incredible run during that time. But they didn't even make the postseason 3 times out of 5 years from 82 to 86. They only made it in 84 and 85. Then, as we all know, they did not make the postseason again until 14 and 15, and they did not make the postseason again until 2024. So it's hard for me to turn down 2 times in the next 5 years with, I think, at least 1 ALCS appearance. I can't have you get to the postseason this year, get 2 more times in the next 4 years, and they always end in the wild card round or the DS. You got to find yourself at least playing with the final 4 teams in this sport for me to be like, you are heading somewhere. And for the first time in my entire lifetime, I believe in the long-term future of this franchise. Because you had mentioned it right after the world, or right after the ALDS. In 14 and 15, it was so different because we were waiting for it all to end. We knew. Everybody knew, even when they were doing those things, that this run wasn't going to last. Nobody was under contract long term. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew that this was like a 2-year run. Now they thought, or were hoping, that they could build it back a little faster. We didn't think some run was coming. They won 81 and 80 games the next 2 years. Had the following year been they were in the postseason? Well, then they were like a good, successful franchise and it was working. If they go 81 and 80 wins the next 2 years in the Royals, but then they're back to 60 wins, well, then they're right back to where they were in 14 and 15 and they stink. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. I want sustained success. At least 80 wins each year on average over the next 5 years with a couple of playoff appearances and one deep run.
Yeah, I think next year is so crucial, though, if you're talking about keeping the buy-in from fans, right, and believing that everything is heading in the right direction. Of course, this year was a massive step forward. But next year, to your point, though, a little bit, I'm not saying it's going to happen every single year, but next year, if all of a sudden thing, you know, hey, there was more injuries in the rotation than they had this year, which is a real possibility, by the way. They were very fortunate. More injuries. And so all of a sudden next year, they fall back to let's say, Cody, a 73 win team. And that's a big step backwards from where they were. You're going to have fans heading into 2026 not believing at all that they're saying, oh, see, it was a 1-year thing. So next year is so important, I think, for people to believe that, oh, this is kind of maybe a new standard of really where they're at. So even if they miss the playoffs, but if they fell back to low 70s in win total, I think fans would say, oh, see, it was just a blip on the radar. Versus if they got to 84 and somehow missed the playoffs, you know, which would probably miss the playoffs.
Hey, they're still there. Let's spend a little bit more.
So it's so important. Just missing the playoffs next year is different than there's more nuance required. Do they miss it because they missed it with 84, 85 wins, or do they miss it because they fell back to a 72 win team?
Part of the reason I asked this about 5 years is the one thing we don't know yet about where the Royals are organizationally is, we know that they're better at identifying free agent pitching and at trading for pitching in other people's organizations. We know that they have done a nice job acquiring young hitting talent and putting it on the roster, whether it's all come to fruition yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know where their system is or how good it's getting. 5 years gives me enough time to see some people come through the new worked Royal system. And if they're actually good at scouting and developing and all that stuff, that did not happen enough in the previous 30 years of my watching baseball. So next year doesn't tell me that story. They go to 84 wins. It tells me they still got a lot of talent on this team. Not quite enough. The way to get more talent on this roster from a long-term perspective, sustained, is through the development process. So next year, I know that I can look at their system right now, and I can tell you right now, they don't have a bunch of players bursting at the seams in double and triple A, ready to crack through in the majors. I know everyone wants to see Jack Caglione and the, I don't know, 25 games he's played at high A ball make it to the big leagues. I'm just telling you, I think we're going to have to wait an extra year or two before we get a sense of if they've brought that player along, if they've brought along some of the pitchers that they've drafted over the last couple of years, some of the college over the last couple of years. That's why I would take the two. It sounds like I'm selling them short, and maybe I am because I'm used to the Royals, as you said, as they know it. But that would seem like a success to
me. The other good thing, it looks like, unless guys get promotions in other organizations, it looks like they're going to have everybody returning from the staff. I think that matters. When you're coming off a year like this, you're not getting your staff poached by everybody, and hopefully that's the case. We won't really know until the season is over officially with World Series. But
JJ said if they don't get poached,
they'll all be back. So, you know, obviously promotions happen and good for their families and everything. But hopefully it looks like there's a chance that everybody, if not like 95%, 99%, should be back from a staff perspective. And I think that matters when you're coming off the type of season that they had. And knowing that the roster is going to be really, really similar. Yeah, we talked to JJ yesterday. There's a few areas that I hope they add. Whether it's trade or otherwise, but like for the most part, it's the same team next year. I mean, there's a few things.
This was a playoff team who went toe to toe with the New York Yankees. Hell, they've been more competitive. They were more competitive in their series than the Guardians have been so far. Not that that's a win. I'm not saying hang a banner for more competitive against the Yankees. I'm just saying they didn't get run out of the building. This wasn't a team that had no business being on the same diamond as the team they were competing against. They got beat by a better team. in the New York Yankees, and they're going to have to find a way to close that gap. It just, a lot of it is, I'm just trying to imagine how we would talk about it 5 years from now. Let's include this year in it. So 6 years total, and the Royals were a playoff team 3 years. They made it to one World Series, but they didn't win it. But they made the playoffs three times in 6 years. Three times in 6 years for the first time since 1981, Gold. Like, I mean, yeah, I get it. My standards have been set low. But they have. I would take that as a pretty big win in my brain.
Well, and because
some of that is like it's hard because the Chiefs just make the damn Super Bowl every year.
And they have changed how we view sports success in the city forever. We've acknowledged that. I also think, man, if you're just saying multiple playoff appearances during that stretch, we know this playoff format typically is set up for a wild card team, or at least the possibility for you to go on a deep run, even if you're not the top seed. I know I say that as it looks like we're heading towards a potential Dodgers, Yankees, top seeds in the National League.
Been a little
while
since
we
just had that grossness.
You know, it looks like that's where we're headed. But at the same time, we saw the Diamondbacks a year ago go from a wild card to the World Series. So if you're telling me they're getting into the playoffs three more times over the next 5-6 years, then their chances of getting to an ALCS or a World Series actually aren't that bad. I mean, the math, of course, is in your favor, but especially with this playoff format. It's not the NFL playoffs where,
you have a chance.
You know, you really have a chance in the Major League Baseball postseason.
Trash of the day.
All right, this takes us to Vermont. Burlington, Vermont.
I don't think we've ever covered Burlington, Vermont on Trash of the Day.
I'm not sure.
That actually seems like the antithesis of Florida Man. Burlington, Vermont is the opposite of Florida Man, typically. Is this a Florida Man-style story?
No. It involves a woman from China who pled guilty on Friday trying to smuggle something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was she smuggling?
Drugs?
No. So she was arrested on the morning of June 28th, but it's just now we're getting more details because she officially pled guilty. She was about to get into an inflatable kayak with a duffel bag on Lake Wallace, okay? And according to Border Patrol agents, they had been notified that two other people, including a man who was believed to be her husband, had started to paddle this inflatable watercraft from the Canadian side of the lake toward the U.S. They searched her duffel bag, found 29... live Eastern box turtles, individually wrapped in socks. They are known to be sold. I didn't know if this was common knowledge today. They're known to be sold on the Chinese black market for $1,000 a pop. So she had 30 grand worth of turtles, 29 grand worth of turtles. Her cell phone was seized, and they found communications that showed she was, in fact, trying to smuggle the turtles into Canada so they could eventually be sold for a profit in Hong Kong.
Uh-huh. So she was going to take these turtles
to Canada,
take them over the Canadian border.
Uh-huh.
Then she was going to ship them over to China to sell them on the black market.
Eventually.
How do you even make these connections?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in what unit? Like, do you know how many people you'd have to talk to, Gold, to find the Chinese box turtle black market? I don't even know where to begin on how to start on that process.
She faces up to 10 years in prison. And
I'm
a fine
sorry,
of up
for
to,
30 turtles?
A fine of up to $250,000, face up to 10 years in prison.
Are they an endangered species?
Well, she was smuggling across to another country. I think that's
smuggling turtles, dude. Well, it wasn't
smuggling
like
is smuggling.
80 pounds of heroin.
It's still smuggling.
It's a turtle.
It's still smuggling in another country across.
Why couldn't she just ship
a border?
So she could ship them from Canada?
I don't know if she was going to ship them from Canada or somebody else was going to smuggle them from Canada to Hong Kong.
She had like a shipping crate,
maybe a shipping container guy
in Canada who'd
ship
them.
They had a whole setup.
Man, that is
10 years would be crazy.
She's not going to probably get 10 years. But.
Like, I can't imagine, like, explaining in prison. You'd be like, "What are you in jail for?" And they're like, I have addiction problems. You know, something's happened, or I committed this. You know, I committed some robberies." And like, "What are you in jail for?" And you're like, "Box turtles." And you're like, "Rewind a little bit. I was smuggling box turtles via a canoe on a lake in Canada." And you're like, "Okay." By the way, is she facing this in the U.S. or Canada? Which side did she get caught on?
Agents been notified. Border Patrol agents, Royal Canadian Mounted Police. They were trying to be smuggled out of the United States. So I guess United States. She lives in Canada.
Oh, they didn't.
But she was smuggling. She was smuggling out of the U.S. into Canada. So I guess that would be the United States. I don't know how that works. All the jurisdiction stuff. I'm not sure.
I guess the question I still have is, Do we get an answer for why this turtle cost $1,000? What's so cool about this turtle?
It's a popular pet over there, I guess. I don't know. It's not.
And they can't get them, apparently?
Eastern.
This is what the rich. So you're telling me over
turtles.
Here, they've got the same technology we do, right? Some 12-year-old could be asking for a Wii, or you know, like a Nintendo Switch, and this kid's saying, "Hey, Daddy, I want an Eastern box turtle."
I don't know. Like, I don't think it's a delicacy. I guess
it's kind of a cool-looking turtle. I don't know.
Big spenders in China are targeting U.S. Here's an article from June. This is an article from the L.A. Times in June of 2017. It said, spotted turtles and box turtles, which this was, fetch up to 1,000 each on the black market where they're in high demand because they're red and gold, and the article just froze and cut off. There's a reason.
On the conservation status, they are currently listed as vulnerable. Not extinct or near extinction.
Oh, here we go.
But, like, there's a scale from least concerned to extinct, and they're on the threatened
I guess
category.
It kind of is a delicacy. Here's the exact reason.
Oh, no, they eat it?
They're in high demand because their red and gold markings make them symbols of good fortune and status. And when eaten, sources of sexual prowess and cures for various ailments.
Okay. Yeah, put the lady in jail. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Millionaires in China are parking their wealth these days in investments such as wine, real estate, and unfortunately, turtles.
No way.
Huh?
Yeah, big money spender.
This is messed up. Someone said it's called the dark web. Could you even get to the dark web? Alex, if I actually can you get to the dark web?
No.
Do you know how to get there?
No.
I also don't know how to get to the dark web. Drew?
I do not.
No, I don't venture in the dark web.
Somebody said,
it's a good thing.
Box turtles are awesome. She should be thrown in jail. Someone said, it's animal cruelty. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, by all accounts, it is. I'm surprised there's a market for these, like, black market box turtles. That's all.
Hmm.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I guess we're learning stuff every day, you know?
That's why we have the trash of the day, man. Just for that. Just for that purpose.
Just to learn that they grind up turtle shells into... They'd like to eat it so that they can try to get erections. That's
boner pills out of turtles.
Some of you all need, like, therapy. Is really what it is. Just don't do this. Don't grind up a turtle shell and turn it into a boner pill. Get therapy instead. I solved it. You know? Take Blue Chew. Do whatever you gotta do that is different than what you're doing, okay?
Just chew it and
there
do it.
There are other options in your life.
Mm-hmm. Up next, we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. How about that, Cody?
Yeah.
We're gonna hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here on 96.5.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today. at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
We are awaiting Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. As soon as they step up to the podium, we will go out to Arrowhead and you will hear from both of them. Definitely curious to hear from Andy a little bit. I'm sure he'll be asked about some of the wide receiver movement yesterday. He'll probably put a lot of it and say, hey, Brett's handling that. Brett Veach is handling that. But still, I'll be curious to get his perspective on seeing, you know, a contender arrival, if you will, in Buffalo, going and adding Amari Cooper. How he feels about the wide receiver room. And also, we know yesterday officially opened the practice window for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So what, I mean, truly, what are they going to do at the running back spot? It's, I guess,
a good problem to have-ish.
I mean, right now, you have Clyde would be available potentially. Just because the practice window is open doesn't mean he will play Sunday, but practice window open. So you could have Clyde, Carson Steele, P. Ryan, and Kareem Hunt. There's four. And then in a month and a half, that other problem is a month or so away, at least. Pacheco comes back. There's five. Does Carson Steele eventually get cut and go to the practice squad?
So,
or do they just say, we don't need Samaje Perine, the vet, and they want to hold on to Carson Steele?
I'll be honest.
I would cut Steele and hope he comes back to the practice squad.
Oh, I was going to say, I might do it the other way.
Really?
Didn't Carson Steele, like, his problem is fumbling. Mm-hmm. A fixable problem. Did he not, like, show you enough to think that there's some talent
there?
Like,
for me,
Samaje's not a long-term thing. I would worry... Yeah. Risking Carson Steele to the practice squad would risk him not being a Chief.
There's probably truth to that. I guess my thinking is, if you can tell me, and they have more insight on this than we do, obviously, if they think Clyde is going to be good to go the rest of the year with his, obviously, personal matter and the PTSD, which can be something that's fine at one moment, and it's obviously a problem at another, and it's something that he obviously has been dealing with and will continue to deal with. If you know that they have a good feeling that it's under control, if you will, then Clyde and P. Ryan are very similar in terms of the role they can provide. I'm with you. By that logic, yes, then P. Ryan would be the odd man out. But if you don't think you have that type of back, and to me, Clyde and P. Ryan are similar, that's going to be available for much, then that's why I would hold on to P. Ryan, because I think he's valuable there. But I'll be honest, I've been disappointed with what P. Ryan's brought to the table. He hasn't really done much for this football team. He hasn't been the pass threat. He was the fourth most receiving yards for a running back in football last year, and he really hasn't done much. But let's hear from Andy, who is speaking right now.
That will not practice today is Mike Denna. He's got a pec strain, so we'll just see how he does this week as we go forward. Look forward to the challenge of playing the 49ers. Heck of a football team. Kyle does a great job with, with the team, and he and Chris have that offense rolling right now, and their defense is one of the top defenses in the NFL, and Nick heading up the defense and special teams. Brian does a great job there on special teams. So, listen, they're well coached. They've got good players. I think both teams kind of know each other, and it should just be a heck of a game. With that, time's yours.
Coach, what is it about the Niners' defense that makes them so difficult to prepare for?
Yeah, so they've got their defensive front. Starts with those guys. They've got an all-pro linebacker sitting right there. That's pretty good, along with their secondary. So they're well-rounded, but it starts with the defensive front. Those guys, they set the tempo for their defense.
Andy, what are your plans for Clyde now that he's on the active list?
Yeah, we'll just see how that goes and how it all works in. We got to look at everything on that. So. Special teams, et cetera, so we'll just, but he's good to go to practice. He knows what he's doing. He's feeling great, which is the most important thing, so.
Do you anticipate that he would play?
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
And is Super Bowl footage of any use at all at this stage, based on timeline and things are doing differently?
Yeah, I think both teams will look at that for sure. Yeah, yeah, you're going to look at everything. I mean, over the time that we've had against each other, I mean, along with the games we've already played and they've played. So you look at all of that.
Do you think there's any consciousness at all, the notion of a rematch or not this, just another regular season game?
Yeah, I think that comes from you guys, and then but I think it's two good teams playing each other for sure. I mean, that's how I look at it.
Yeah. How was a bye week for you and your coaching staff?
Yeah, it was good. It was good to step back for a second for the players in particular. They got quite a bit of time off, and coaches got a little bit of time off, and it was good for everybody there.
And you've been through this long enough to know, what are the benefits of having an early bye when compared to like one that's, say, closer to Thanksgiving?
Yeah. And we've normally had them a little ninth week or plus, you know, somewhere in that area. Our schedule is crazy enough where you're going to get some days off, and it's important that you take advantage of those days. So that's what I would tell you. So it was good to get this one, and then how we handle the rest of the schedule is the important part. And when we have time, make sure you take the time and for recovery purposes.
Andy, what do you attribute that? You guys had a lot of success under center against the Saints. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, we've done a little bit more of that this mm-hmm. year. And it's just, listen, it's one more thing that we like to use, and we're able to use it a little bit more. I think the running backs love that part, obviously. But it's a good changeup. Yeah.
When you were going back during the bye, how did you feel about some of the pass protection, and then particularly at the left side? How did you guys make it a little bit better there?
Yeah. Listen, we've got young guys playing the left tackle. I mean, that's not a secret. And so it's important that we just continue to progress there and get better. We know there are going to be some hiccups, and we've just got to keep getting better and better as we go. That's the important thing, and the guys are working hard, and so that's kind of where we're at with that.
Will Wanya start this week?
Yeah, Wanya will start. Yep.
Coach, Brock Purdy's obviously had a very fine career to start here, and I wasn't drafted by anybody until the very last pick of the draft, and he's kind of proven it over time. What do you see from him as he's gone through here, getting a couple years into this thing, where it seems to not be dropping off?
No, I think he's a heck of a player. I remember the head coach at Iowa State saying this guy changed the program around. And when you make a statement like that, and he's a good football coach, when you make a statement like that, that's bold. And it's we all see why he said it. You know, he was right on with that. I mean, this kid's he's a heck of a football player.
What was just kind of your impression so far of just how much that Juju has kind of been able to kind of pick up where he was, you know, in 2022 when he was with you guys?
Yeah, well, first of all, he's a veteran. He works hard and he's smart. So I think all of those kind of go into that. And, you know, Pat has trust in him. So, and we as coaches have trust in him, and we've try to put him in good positions for his strengths and try to utilize those. And that's, I think all of those things kind of add up to production. But the main thing is he's kept himself in great shape and he's smart. You know, he knows how to play the game.
He said when he got here that he watched last year and saw Rasheed doing a lot of the things that he had done the year before. Is that make him just a really good piece to have around when you do lose Rasheed?
Yeah, you and I have talked about this, Matt, but the guy opposite Kels ends up being very important, that they know how to play the game and can kind of do similar things that Kels can do. And it's, you know, if you can get that, then, you know, you've got something going offensively that way. So he did that before. You know, Pringle did that before him. We've had guys in those spots that could do that. So it's you know, it's, that's a positive thing. Anyways, Juju's good with that, and yeah, they are similar things. They're doing similar things.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
Okay, good.
All right, so that was Andy Reid talking to the media. We're expected to hear from Patrick Mahomes in just another minute or so right here on 96.5 The Fan. He was, as expected, asked about the running back situation here, and we'll get to that in a second.
You are listening to 96.5 The Fan, a KFNZ FM and AM, HD1 and HD2 in Kansas City.
So Andy officially said on playing time for Clyde, quote, he's good to go for practice. He knows what he's doing. He's feeling great. We'll just see how it goes. We know they open up the practice window, and yes, that is a 21-day window that now is open. They do not have to bring him back this week. They could bring him back the next week. Yeah, everything is on the table. A lot of people on the text line are saying just cut him and move on. Look, I'm just telling you what I think that the team has shown us. In the offseason, I didn't want him back with the team. I said it on the air at the time. In March. I would have rather had J.K. Dobbins. Said it in March. They chose Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They view him in higher regard than it sounds like a lot of people that are texting in right now. I get it. He, of course, has been dealing with PTSD. He's been very open about that. I told you that's why I wanted them to bring in a veteran back in August during training camp, because I was worried about his availability. Both happened, by the way, just saying. Now he's potentially available to come back. They also have added Kareem Hunt since. I'm just saying, Samaje Perine hasn't exactly done a whole lot to make me feel like he's just a lock to stay on the team either.
No.
So I think Clyde might be in jeopardy when Pacheco's available. One thing is for certain, Pacheco isn't going anywhere when he's back, and Kareem Hunt's not going anywhere. So it's really, a Clyde, a Perine, and Carson Steele
it's
conversation.
Three people for two spots.
Right.
Used to be five people for three spots.
But. Correct. I think it's still between Steele and Perine right now, unless the team knows that that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not going to be available enough. If they feel like, hey, he's just never going to be available when we need to count on him, then yeah, maybe they would cut him then. They've held on to him, Cody, since March.
He is I think the missing element here for, and this is different between what my desires would be and what a team thinks about a player. You and I both said that we probably wouldn't have gone back to the Clyde Edwards-Helaire well. Now, because yeah, we might think Kareem Hunt or that Isaiah Pacheco's coming back in 6 weeks, but we don't know for sure.
True.
He's a safety net. He's a safety net as a starting running back. What if something happened to Kareem Hunt, the 30-year-old running back who hasn't been a full-time starter in a long time? Well, who's the next starter? Well, Andy doesn't trust Carson Steele because he fumbles, which means welcome back in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He is a safety net for now. I think he's on this roster until Pacheco. When Pacheco comes around,
then
they'll decide between Perine. I think they keep four for now, and then they make their decisions.
So by that, though, they're not going to have four active running backs on Sunday.
No, someone will be inactive
for game
day. But
that's where, hey, they don't have to activate Clyde on Sunday. His window is open. So that's maybe where they buy themselves another week. But like, I don't necessarily think, like, if someone acted like they're going to cut Clyde Edwards-Helaire before Sunday, I think that's also wrong. There's no reason to cut Clyde in the next 21 days, because you're either, if you're going to activate him, then obviously you're not trying to cut him. And if you're going to cut him, there's no reason to do that for three more weeks.
And why did you do all this work to try to get him back on a football field? Now you could say you're just doing the humanity thing, because what he was dealing with, putting him on the NFI list and continuing to pay him, allows you the ability to have flexibility inside your organization and offer a person a chance to be a human being. Great. But also doing all that just to be like, well, you're finally able to play. See you later. Doesn't really make a ton of sense. I also just don't think that they have any sure things in the running back room. We're all thrilled in what we saw in Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
I don't think it's unfair to say, can he do that, carry the ball 27 times, 10 more times this year, and also stay healthy before Isaiah Pacheco comes back? And how long does it take Isaiah Pacheco to come back? I think carrying four running backs right now with three active on game days is something they kind of have to do until Pacheco comes back. And then and only then do they have to make the difficult decision on these players. And yeah, right now for me, Perine would be the odd man out.
Yeah. Then the other thing that I thought stood out from Andy, one is Mike Dana still not practicing. He's got a pec strain. Based off of that, still keeping it on practice post bye week. Has he progressed enough to play Sunday? Right now, you would have to think that they could be without Mike Dana, or will be without Mike Dana on Sunday, which would be a key loss for a defensive line and obviously from a pass rush perspective. And on the flip side, dealing with the defensive front for San Francisco, Andy confirmed Wanya Morris will start, in case you thought they were going to make a change during the bye week. I expected that, didn't you? I mean, Kingsley.
I mean, I don't even know why that came back up as a conversation.
Kingsley
honestly
played, what, two snaps when Wanya got hurt for a brief period of time? And he got destroyed on both of the snaps. So I think Wanya is their best option right now. There's obviously a much longer term conversation to be had about Kingsley, based on where they drafted him, based on he was the guy throughout camp, based on him being the more athletic guy. Yeah. But technique-wise, and right now when you're trying to three-peat, Wanya is your best option, so that of course, should be the guy going forward.
It came up more on Monday, so I'm not surprised it didn't come up more again today. But, man, wide receiver at some point.
All right, let's go out to Arrowhead and hear from quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
Is there anything special about this one, given the recent history between these teams?
Yeah, I mean, as I think it's as big as a regular season game you could play in. But, I mean, they're a great football team, and I always like going up against the best, and that's what we're going up against this week. And so we understand that it's going to be a big game. We understand that it's going to take our best to win. And so you just have to have extreme focus and know that it's going to be one play that kind of decides the entire game.
You talked before about your interest in NFL history. Are you kind of aware of what this rivalry is, what its place in NFL history is now?
Yeah, in a sense. I think whenever you have two great football teams that meet up in the Super Bowl and meet up in all these big games, there's going to be a history between that. And so, obviously, we've been able to win those games, but we know how good this football team is, and we have a ton of respect for them. And so it's not like one play couldn't have changed all these football games. And so we're going with that mindset of we just got to make the plays whenever they count.
When you watch the last two drives of last year's game, offensive drives,
Please.
We'll get right back out to Arrowhead as soon as that technical glitch comes back. Well, who was that talking?
Please.
I don't know who this is.
somebody hacked into the press conference.
Please.
We will go back out there as soon as it is Patrick Mahomes talking. Drew will let me know. And we'll go back out there and hear.
Let's just get that as a drop, actually.
We need that, I think. Let's go back out there.
Changes, then they win. And so that's kind of the NFL, and especially when you get two of the top teams going up against each other.
Patrick, recognizing that part of the bye week is to get away, was there something you still wanted to hone in on with your own game?
Yeah, I mean, I got some work in, and I feel like I'm in a good spot. But, I mean, until you take time off, you stay on top of your fundamentals, you stay on top of the stuff that's gotten you to where you are so far in the season. But I thought it was a good bye week. I spent some time with with my family and some friends and family as well. And so did that and then got some work in fundamentally, and I'm excited for a great challenge ahead.
Just to follow up to that, what's your approach, just for yourself and for your teammates, especially the younger guys, for the rest of the season as you guys kind of buckle in for this 12-game unbroken stretch to finish things out, at least in the regular season?
Yeah, you got to take it one game at a time, one day at a time. I haven't been in this situation before just because I've always had a later bye week. But I always try to stay on top of my body and making sure I'm healthy as possible. I mean, you're going to be banged up in the NFL. But you have to continue to just grind away every single day and get better. And then once you get to the playoffs, that's when you want to be playing your best football. And I think that's something that Coach Reed does a great job of, how he schedules practices, how he schedules the week to get your body best prepared for the entire season.
Patrick, speaking of that, go ahead, Keith. What qualities make Juju Smith-Schuster a good player for that role opposite Kelsey?
Yeah, I think he just does a good job of knowing where to be at, knowing the full concept of the offense, getting himself open in man-to-man coverage, and then just doing whatever it takes to be good. I mean, he'll block, he'll catch the ball, he'll run routes, get other guys open. He's a true team player, and then when his number gets called, he goes out there and makes the play, and that's what it takes to be great in this league.
Speaking of keeping your body right, what sort of stuff do you try to do with Bobby during the season, even the bye week in particular? What are you emphasizing right now?
Yeah, I mean, you stay on top of the little things, shoulder health, knee health, ankle health, all that different type of stuff, especially when you get a little bit extra time in the bye week. And then I try to do whatever I can to maintain my weight in the right spot. And then I even get with my QB coach and get some work in as well in that bye week. You just get a little extra time to focus on your fundamentals even more. And so doing that and then coming back in the building and continue to stay on top of that will be important to me this year.
Bobby in particular, what's his voice in your ear during the season, this time of season? What are you getting from him?
His voice is in my ear at all times. He makes sure I stay on top of the little things. I think that's the biggest thing that's helped me throughout my career, and I've noticed a difference from my first few years to now that Bobby's up here working with me, is that he doesn't let the little things slide. And, you know, some days I don't feel as good, and He makes sure that I get that work in, and I make sure to kind of check the boxes and so that I can be the best I can be every single week.
Did you enjoy your trip over at Kauffman Stadium?
I did. It was awesome. The energy was amazing. Obviously, the Royals played great against a great baseball team and didn't come out with the win, but it was cool to see and experience that. I've been waiting for that for a long time, and hopefully it's a building block and a step in the right direction for our future, and I'm excited for those guys in the seasons to come.
How awful was Dieter in the
Sweet. Yeah, he actually wasn't that bad. I probably was worse. I was the Dieter in that situation. He's a big Yankees fan, obviously, and he's super excited, and now he gets to talk trash to Travis. So I passed that along to Trav.
Just keep up there with Travis.
You can't give him a little slither of opening, and Travis told us that he was going to the game, and all of a sudden I looked, and Dieter's flying to New York. So can't give him an opening, no, but it's cool for him to get to do it. I mean, I'm not like a Yankees hater, but sometimes I don't want the Yankees to win because of him. Like, he's made me not want the Yankees, but I like the guys on the team. So it's I'm just watching as a fan now, which is cool.
Keep with the baseball theme, what inspired you to get involved with the Negro Leagues and the collection there?
You know, it was cool because I didn't know Kansas City and the history of the Negro Leagues in Kansas City. And when I got here as a rookie in the rookie symposium type stuff, they took us over to the museum, and I realized how great it was and met Bob and got to hear the history. And that was the same stuff my dad and LaTroy had talked about growing up. And my dad used to mimic Satchel Paige and some of the way he'd do his mechanics and pitch. And so it just hit me close because I had heard this stuff growing up, and now I got to hear the history of it. And so I know people talk about it, but if you haven't been, I would go over to the Negro Leagues Museum and see the history of the game and how it impacted not only baseball but the sports world in general. It was easy for me whenever Adidas came up to me and said, let's make something that goes with Kansas City. I was like, the Negro League Museum and the Monarchs especially. And so I'm excited for how the shoe turned out. Hopefully you go out and get them.
Patrick, there's been a lot of buzz in the league the last couple of days, wide receivers. That being said, with Juju, the game he had last Monday night, what's the confidence like, especially him tweeting out after the game, Unk still got it?
I have extreme confidence with the guys that are on that football field. I mean, they've won games. They've won Super Bowls. They've made plays in big moments. And Brett Veach does a great job of bringing players in that can step up whenever their number's called. And so every time I step on that football field, I feel like we have the best ability to win. And I think that's a credit to Brett Veach and Coach Reed bringing in guys that really get after it and put in the work to be great every single day.
How much time in the bye week, Patrick, did you look at your guys' performance in the red zone? And is there anything you want to change when you guys do get in that sort of condensed area of the field?
Yeah, I think it's just execution. I think for me, myself, I have to just trust to throw into some of those tighter windows and make those plays and know that that window might be the only opportunity you have to score a touchdown. And then we have to be able to run the ball down there and know that we get different coverages than a lot of other teams. And so instead of necessarily going in with a certain mindset because this is how this team has played in the red zone, we have to go in with more good versus all plays. I mean, if you look at some of these teams, it's like they play man all game, and then they play us. I mean, all season they play us, and it's cover two or cover four, and vice versa. And so we have to go in with the mindset of knowing teams are going to play us a little differently, and we have to execute and accept that challenge. And I've talked about if we've scored in some of these red zone situations, there isn't as many, I guess, questions about the offense because we're scoring in more and more points. And so eliminating turnovers, scoring in the red zone are the two things that I think we just need to work on as the season goes on.
Just to follow up on that, the tight window thing, obviously you don't throw a lot of tight window throws. Did you see stuff going back through film, particularly in the red zone, that you say, hey, there was a small crease here that maybe I should have could have thrown it?
Yeah, I mean, in certain situations, yeah. I mean, I remember just from not even watching on tape, but just remembering the Atlanta game, I had one where I kind of went out to the left and it wasn't necessarily the window to throw it, but I could have maybe back-shouldered the corner route, and I didn't throw it that one instance, and then we didn't get another opportunity to score that drive. And so it's just knowing that, like, you got to pick and choose when you want to take those chances. I mean, obviously with our defense and how they're playing, you don't want to necessarily put the ball in harm's way in the red zone. But whenever you get those opportunities, you can throw a ball that might be him or nobody, and the guy can make a catch. And so stuff that I'll continue to work on as the season goes on.
Patrick, when a guy like Juju comes back that you've worked with before, but it's been a while, how quickly, what's the process of just getting familiar again and getting on the same page on that work?
Yeah, no, I mean, it always helps when you get in the game and it just kind of works out. I mean, obviously you get the reps in practice and you try to work through the things that you've, I don't want to say lost, but you haven't worked on in the last year of him not being here. But then it seemed like when we got in the game, it kind of just clicked. And so that was something that was big for me. And we'll continue to get him involved in the offense as well as other guys. And I'm just excited for the guys that continue to get better and better each and every week. And I think we have the guys to do it.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, so that was Patrick Mahomes talking to the media. The last part was interesting there. You know, he was talking about red zone, and I think it's fair to point out how we judge this offense and how we view it and how one thing is so vital to overall the narrative around the offense, which was that, quote, if we score in red zone situations, there aren't as many questions about this offense. Well, yeah. I mean, that's that they've moved
ain't
the ball.
That the, but right? That's kind of an important area.
That's the name of the game. I mean, that's been the issue for the last calendar year, going back to last year. They moved the ball at times, but in the red zone, they broke down. He said, quote, I have to trust myself to throw in those tight windows. Maybe there's some opportunities there that, you know, you worry about making the mistake instead of just throwing it and trusting your arm a little bit. And even for this, even somebody like Patrick Mahomes, he said that was part of his self-scout during the bye week. So it'll be interesting to watch against the 49ers, a defense where you probably are going to have to throw in some more tight windows based off of how good they are.
Yeah, it's a really good defense. It's a tough way to score. But also, we view good offenses as the ones who put the ball in the end zone. They were not a good red zone team last year. They're not a good red zone team again this year. And usually that boils down to talent. I assume Mahomes is talented enough that no matter who's running routes, he can get me from the 20 to the 20. That's never been a problem for this offense. That wasn't even a problem for this offense last year. But when it comes down to the tighter areas of the field, are you able to do it? I'll still admit, I know that it's like one of those things I should probably just let go, like Andy Reid not being aggressive on fourth down. I hate their play calling down there. I still just don't love their game plan when they get to the red zone. And part of it is just like, why do you keep doing this same thing when it hasn't worked in years? Are you sure you don't want to just like play more straight up? And I'm sure they would tell you like, no, you got to be more creative. You got to use different parts. You look at the other teams. They're working it that way too. It's more of a talent issue or blocking issue or those things. I think a lot of it comes down to the mistakes they make from the 20 to the 20 don't stop a drive. But if you get a holding penalty from the 15-yard line, game over. That's a field goal. Game over. You get a false start from first and goal from the five. Game over. Not getting the ball in the end zone, right? I think some of it is that. The prone to mistakes part of the Chiefs bites them more inside the 20 than it does in those other areas of the field.
Yeah, the other thing, it's the fact that they have Harrison Butker, one of the best kickers in NFL history, frankly, as their kicker, I don't know if that lends them to be more conservative or not.
I think it does.
On the red zone opportunities. But I guess what I'm saying is, think about the other dynasties in sports. Hell, the Patriots, for much of their dynasty, who was their kicker?
Adam Vinatieri.
That's right. Most people think he's one of the greatest kickers in NFL history.
Until Tucker, he was the kicker.
You know, Tucker's not been part of a dynasty in Baltimore, but for a while he was the best kicker. I guess what I'm saying is, like, we sometimes look at the kicker position a certain way, but most of the teams that have been able to stack Super Bowls together, they actually also had one of the better kickers in football, period. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Tend to have one of the better defenses, too.
What's that?
I said tend to have one of the best defenses, too.
The Chiefs didn't for the first half of this dynasty, but certainly last year, and obviously this year, they have one of the better defenses.
2 point, Cody, about the play calling. Forgive me if I didn't hear right, but the last question was talking about Patrick not taking many, like, tight window throws.
He's saying he saw a back shoulder throw, and that was the last opportunity they had to score on that drive.
Right. So
wish he would have thrown it, is what it sounds like.
That's where I wonder, because that's what we talked about with Mike Williams, is that is his MO play style type of throw the ball up, back shoulder, and get him the ball. They don't have that right now, but then we talked about it yesterday. They don't necessarily play that style. To me, that question is where maybe you do entertain Mike Williams because of those. The ability of Mahomes to make those tight window throws, getting a guy that is used to having those kind of targets than trying to mold whoever into that guy or just not going to that direction because you know that nobody on your roster is capable of making those plays.
Yeah, you just don't see it very often. You just don't see the, like, toss the ball up in the air, let's see what happens situation with him very often. I think some of it is that, and not to Mahomes' fault, but I think the wide receiver talent and the offensive line talent over the last couple of years where it's been a bit more of a slog, I think it's made him a little more timid to make some of those risky throws, knowing that, hell, the three's been working and we get wins. Like, it's hard to be like, man, I should force it for this 7. If, like you said, Harrison Butker's automatic for the 3.
Yeah, avoid the mistake.
And we've won 11 consecutive games playing football this way. And I don't know, probably like 15 of the last 17 or whatever the hell run they're on. I don't know if it's that many, but it's close enough. So it's hard to justify when you've got the results. The results are wins. The results are Super Bowls. And so, you know, do I need to take more chances? Eh, maybe not. Hard to force you to change yourself if you're all stuck in the same spot.
Here in 15 minutes, we'll get to what's trending, get you caught up on what's going on in sports, not just NFL, but all across the sports world. That's coming up in just a little bit. But in the meantime, let's get to all 32. So I just saw this come across, and it's been quiet for a while, which some of you are probably thankful for on the stadium front, both for the Royals and the Chiefs.
Oh, no, there's more stadium stuff?
Well, no, it's not Chiefs, but I just saw some other NFL stadium news, and I just wonder if we're just going to continue to see this happening. We know if, in fact, on the Chiefs end, if they build a brand new stadium, it's very likely to have be a dome, maybe retractable, hopefully retractable, but a dome. If they renovate, of course, it'll be open air like it is. I just saw out of Hamilton County, Ohio, they are currently exploring putting a dome over the Cincinnati Bengals Stadium.
Acorn's a dome.
They would be the only AFC North team to play
Cowards.
In a dome. Joe Burrow does not want to play
division.
In the cold anymore. He's sick of it. He's sick of it.
The location of the stadium is very nice, actually.
But the stadium itself is not nice.
The stadium
right?
is not great, no.
Feels a little bit like lipstick on a pig. If you're just going to throw a dome over the top of it, just build a new stadium. I'm sorry, it's stupid.
Yeah, just saw
just
this.
Build a new building if you're just going to throw a roof on it. Gold, let's cut a sunroof in your 10-year-old, 200,000-mile car, you
it already
know?
Has a sunroof.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
My bad! You know what? I made the assumptions about heated seats the other day. That was a mistake. And now I'm making the assumption that your car doesn't have a sunroof when it clearly does. We're going to make it panoramic, though, man.
Okay.
I'm getting you on my level for
moonroof. There you go.
We're going to get you the moonroof so you can see all the way across. Honestly, what's weird about it is the NFC North... That is supposed to be
AFC
yeah. North. Sorry, that is tough man football, right? That's Baltimore and Cleveland. Like you're supposed
Pittsburgh,
to kind of play
yeah.
outside. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be ugly football. It feels like they're kind of cowards.
I'd
you know?
Be a little disappointed actually in seeing a dome. I don't know. It wouldn't sit right.
Like that's not the AFC West. Vegas and LA are two of the teams.
Haven't they still
in this
been
division?
Tell me if they fix this or not. Haven't they still been having to walk across like a busy street to get to their practice field? Is that
no,
still a thing?
So. Right now, it is, but they have proposed.
So they still are walking across the street.
Currently, yes.
Okay, all right.
Currently,
why don't they get that fixed before they worry about putting a roof on their stadium?
They pitched ideas, and I think it might actually been approved. I can't remember to actually solve that problem. Thankfully, because that was a funny conversation that came.
I was thinking more about we had covered the kickoff rules. Currently, right now, kickoffs are at 34%. That is nearly double the percentage they were being returned at last year, so, but the average yardage start position hasn't really changed much.
Right.
Not seen a lot of big-time kickoffs yet. And it made me think of another rule that they just wasted their time with this offseason. You remember last time we had to spend about talking about hip-drop tackles? The only thing that banning hip-drop tackles has added is fodder for stupid fans on social media trying to claim every time their guy goes down, it's a hip-drop tackle and they should have executed the player on the field for doing it to their player. There have been, according to Troy Vincent, 22 calls that they looked at for hip drop tackle, only 7 of which they find. And do you know how many penalties? There have been 4 hip drop tackles in the entire NFL this year.
I haven't seen any.
None! Zero! Mm-hmm. The hell, you waste my whole offseason showing me highlight reel tapes of Justin Reed pulling a guy down.
Yeah, but this is a good thing. This is a good thing. I didn't want it to be something that's called all the time. Yesterday, we were all bitching and moaning about 22 flags being thrown, and now we're like, they're not even calling them.
I don't think anybody knows what it is. I think it's too hard to be like, well, it's kind of this, but like, you know, like a half a second different and it's the same.
Okay.
That's too subjective. Who cares? Just let people tackle people. It's football.
Because I know.
7.
I was going to say.
7 fines and I guess however many games.
Because that was the way it was initially put out there in the offseason that they weren't necessarily going to flag it. They were just going to fine players and hope it deters. So that actually adds up.
22 plays they've looked at, 7 total fines. My problem with it is I think the fans on social media have become stupid because of it. Every time their guy gets tackled,
You think the hip drop tackles is why some people on social media are stupid? That's the reason?
Okay. I just think it's a contributing factor to more stupidity is probably how I should put it.
Yeah.
This goes back to that I think I'm smarter than 70% of society, Gavin's probably.
Oh, boy.
I stand by that, you know? My kids are so smart, I'm starting to wonder if I've done something correct. You know? I'm trying to make them smarter than 90% of society.
You think Desmond's heard you today at all?
It's hard to say. I hope he wasn't listening to a segment ago.
Your kid's PE class having this show on, I don't get it. I mean, look, I hope everybody's listening to the show.
Trying to play basketball.
I don't know if the PE class for kindergartners is the best spot for it, though.
Sports? They're practicing sports?
If you're looking to reach kindergartners, no other show in the city does that.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. We're getting the demographic so young, they're going to be listeners for life.
That's right.
So neither of my kids are currently interested in the job I do.
As if anything could have been more interesting than yesterday, I don't know if it could have been, but Jerry Jones is doubling down, it sounds like. He had an interview.
That's not surprising.
He had an interview with The Athletic. Regarding the exact same conversation that we had, and I'm sure the cuts will be played here shortly. He was explaining how his frustration stemmed from the individuals asking the question, obviously, you know, the radio host on the show. He said, quote, "The wrong ones were doing the questioning. If those had been real fans sitting there, or if there had been people that knew what they were talking about, football people, I might have had a different answer." So he's saying that if a random Cowboys fan chastised his decision-making, he'd be more willing to listen?
Yes.
But not listen to the radio guys?
But not listen to the radio guys.
He also just, he clearly is, I mean, they're coming off an embarrassing loss. He's obviously in a bad mood because he also then said, I don't expect to be, you know, chastised by people that I'm paying. And then our friends down in Dallas, our sister station, which is where he does the interviews for, Sean Sharif, who used to work in this market in this time slot, as a matter of fact, many, many, many years ago, back when I was like an intern, he quickly responded and they led their show with it today, like, he's like, I wish I was paid by Jerry Jones. There's this weird misconception. Yeah, Jerry Jones is not paying that show to interview him. He doesn't employ them. That's a bunch of crap. He knows it as well. I don't know why he said that.
He's trying to double down.
You think I'm an idiot? Do you?
Well,
I just, what is his plan? By the way, I'll just be honest. I am for sale, Clark Hunt. This is a great moment to say
this. I told you.
If you would like me to be even more positive about this team, and as a result of that, you will pay me cash money to do it, I'm in.
Yeah, people thought they
I am for sale. My takes are for sale, Clark. I am willing to do it.
Oh, boy.
Whenever we
talk, the right dollar, man. I'm not going to do it for $20, but I mean, you know, let's talk.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a billionaire. He's got money.
Whenever we've talked stadium, there's always like one person that'll text in and be like, you know, Clark Hunt told you to say that about the stadium, and I've said, please help me find the check that is lost in the mail, because I'm waiting for the check to be found. For those of you that always tweet that in.
Well, and earlier today, people were saying that you didn't think that the Chiefs were going to make it. So as positive as you are, Cody,
sums
it
up,
seems
it's
like
excellent.
People are not very happy.
You have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
Just make sure you're not begging too much,
please.
We've got clarification from your son's school. The teacher is texting in.
Oh no.
Quote, "We're not listening during PE. It was on my phone. And I said, Desmond, look, it's your dad. And he had a huge grin on his face."
That makes more sense. That makes way more sense.
There was no way that
sense.
He was bumping Cody and Gold over the loudspeaker while they're
playing
basketball.
All I can tell you is my son was really excited. He came home and he said, I heard you on the radio today at PE. And he was really excited about it. And so I was like, wait, were they just like listening to it? But you know, I'll be honest. Six-year-olds are not going to give you the breakdown. They're not giving you the full breakdown of what's taking place in their day. You're lucky if you get two sentences on what took place during an entire school day.
So when I said this is a mailman for 26 years, I can assure you those checks are not coming for you, boys. That's right. I agree. I tend to agree that is just not going to happen.
Just saying I'm open for business.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending and then what is going on with Tom Brady. A busy day yesterday. It has some ramifications for the NFL and for those of you that are watching on Sundays.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.